It's time for the Picture House Podcast with your hosts, Sam and Simon. Please ensure that your mobile phone is switched off, refrain from smoking, and keep conversation to a minimum. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show!
Hello and welcome to the Picture House Podcast. My name is Simon Renshaw and I'm joined as ever by Sam Clements. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Hello. I'm very well, thanks. We're recording this at the end of summer.
It's the end of summer. I've watched Dunkirk four times. I feel like I'm alive.
There are no other films.
Nope.
Not really.
That was it. That was the film. Did you see the film of the summer?
I saw it just the one time.
Yeah.
I would quite like to rewatch it.
It was a good film, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had a really good... Yeah. I keep thinking about it. I mean, it made me go on this Nolan binge. So I've spent a lot of my summer rewatching old films. Sorry, new cinema.
Well, why not?
I've seen the new films too. But yeah. Dunkirk inspired me to reassess Nolan's output.
Did you go back to Following?
Didn't go back to Following. I'm sort of doing a selected Nolan back catalogue rewatch. But there's a few that I do need to... like The Prestige, I don't own.
Has it got a title?
I didn't realise I didn't own The Prestige.
Oh, what?
I need to go and buy The Prestige and rewatch that. We did all of the Batman films, though, the Dark Knight trilogy. Great. Rewatched Interstellar as well, which is incredible.
I've not seen that since, what, 2004?
2014.
14, yeah.
No, I loved Interstellar, and it gets better every single repeat viewing. Also, the Batman films get better on repeat viewing.
Great.
Batman Begins was something which I never really liked so much when it was first out. It's great.
Okay.
Really, really great.
I'll go back there.
I see a lot of... the things that Nolan's really doing now and is being celebrated for, like old school cinema technique, which he uses a lot in Interstellar and a lot in Dunkirk, is in Batman Begins, but no one was talking about it then. There I think because it was Batman, it got overshadowed.
It's all there. It's all the building blocks.
Yeah. That's what Nolan's up to. But Dark Knight Rises is such a good film.
I do like that film.
Tom Hardy's performance is like, it's my favourite Tom Hardy performance, that's for sure. It might be one of my favourite performances of all time. It doesn't make any sense.
It's very...
His voice is insane.
Yeah, it's very entertaining for sometimes the right reasons, sometimes the wrong reasons, but that's fine. That's totally fine.
I think because he's a villain in the film, you can sort of get away with him having like this weird characteristic, even though it doesn't... like, his voice doesn't sound like he's anywhere near the same room as any of the other actors. That's totally fine, because everyone in the film buys it, so you as an audience member buy it. And he's got this nice, like, bounce to his voice. It's really fun to hear him speak. Yeah. Basically, I'd like a Bane sat-nav and a car.
And how many picture houses is everything you could need? Friendly ushers and organic snacks, it's a very fine place indeed. A range of films, remarkable, and every genre makes the list. And you can take your drinks into the film if you really want to get comfortable.
Let's go through this week's top five. That's the top five highest grossing pictures at Picture House cinemas in the last week.
So number five, the top five is kind of interesting. It's quite a lot of old films in here. Old being, you know, on release for a few weeks, not like Lawrence of Arabia.
It's not Casablanca, yeah, sure.
No. Number five is The Big Sick, which has been in cinemas for 5 weeks.
Wow, that's a hold.
Yeah, it's like the word of mouth on this film has been superb.
People really love that film. I think that basically every other day I ask someone, anyone, what they're doing tonight, and they say, oh, I'm going to go and see The Big Sick.
They're all going to that one, same screening.
Yeah.
It's a club.
And they ask
club.
Me what I'm doing, and I tell them I'm going to see Dunkirk. That's basically what my summer's been. What are you seeing? Big Sick. All right, yeah, you know, Dunkirk.
See you after.
All right, see you later. That's the whole thing.
I really like The Big Sick, and I would recommend people catching it whilst they can. It was a two-cry film for me.
A double crier. Nice.
Yeah, it was a double
very
cry.
Nice.
I had a jolly time watching it. Would recommend.
Dunkirk's a two-cry film for me.
Interesting. I had zero cries.
Zero cries.
Yeah.
I had zero cries in The Big Sick.
Yeah, we should swap.
I'll
see you after Big Sick Club.
Next time I watch Big Sick, I'll have one cry.
Okay.
And the next time you watch Dunkirk, you have one cry, and then we're square.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, great.
I'll cry when Branner's on the beach looking so just official with his hat.
That's the first cry. When am I supposed to cry in The Big Sick?
Halfway through, exactly 60 minutes in.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll set my watch.
And that's perfectly timed up with a transition, which is really moving.
Okay, great. I'll set my phone to vibrate in my pocket to remind me to shed tears at that moment.
That's the one. You'll know, because everyone else will be crying at the same transition.
Okay, great.
In at number four, speaking of films that make you cry, it's A Ghost Story. David Lowery's third feature film, following Ain't Nobody Saint and Pete's Dragon. He's free for free for me. I think this film is amazing.
I think that Pete's Dragon is better than Ain't Nobody Saints, and I think that Ghost Story is better than Pete's Dragon. So it's just
top
a
of pile.
Crescendo of excellence. And I really like all those films.
He's just finished his fourth film, which will probably premiere at Sundance next year, which stars Robert Redford and Tom Waits.
Yes, so looking forward to it.
What The Old Man and a Gun, it's called, based on a news article about an old man
and a gun.
Yeah, so that'd be good. A Ghost Story.
He's playing the gun.
Waits Tom Waits.
The gun,
he's the gun.
Sure.
And Redford is, I mean, he's such an old man.
He's a pretty old man.
He's nailed it.
Wasn't that his character's name in All Is Lost? It was like The Old Man.
And the Sea.
No, and the gun. So All Is Lost was the first
J.C. Chandor.
And yeah, that's the first one. And The Old Man and the Gun is the second one.
Yeah, that's the second in the trilogy. And
what's
we'll
the
have
third
to see
one?
What the... Well, the third one is... They're still writing it.
Okay.
They need to focus group the title to
item?
See what object is good with Redford.
Okay.
They're waiting to see. Really love this film. Every time I think about it, I always come back to the music in it and just how romantic it is. It's like this tragedy set across time and space.
Lovely, spooky tragedy.
It's so spooky.
It's a Pixar short meets Interstellar. That's what it is.
That sums it up perfectly. This amazing soundtrack.
Oh, my God.
I love the song in it and the whole score. It's a delight. Do check it out if you can.
One of my favourites of the year. Speaking of one of my favourites of the year, in at number three, it's Dunkirk.
Have you seen this yet?
No, I intend to catch it.
Apparently it's really good.
What will happen is when it's released on VOD, I will put it on my phone and I'll just sort of catch it. When I'm like got 10-minute tube journeys,
that would be good. Yeah, like an episodic thing.
Do 10 minutes
thing.
On the tube on my phone, and then like leave it a day or so, and then be like, oh shit, I need to watch Dunkirk, and then watch the next bit. True fact, though, the weekend that Interstellar came out in 2014, that weekend on either the Saturday or the Sunday, I was standing next to a man who was sitting down on the tube, and he was watching Interstellar on his phone on the tube the weekend of release, and it had a really smashed screen, and I was thinking, this isn't what Christopher wants you to do, mate. But it really made me laugh.
He'd be so upset.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
A single tear.
A pirated version of his film that he wants you to see projected onto the side of the moon, but you've chosen to watch it on your smashed phone.
It's not fair on Nolan.
No, I suppose it's not. Been very fair on Nolan, and I've seen this film a lot, and I think it is brilliant. Another one of the best films of the year.
I can't wait. I really, really want to watch it again on the big screen before I do my smashed phone viewing of Dunkirk.
Crucial to have a smashed phone viewing of all of Nolan's films.
Yes, that's a good box set. Yeah. Right there. In at number two, it's a brand new film.
Oh, good.
Our first brand new film at
Excellent.
The top five. It's Logan Lucky.
Steven Soderbergh. I've not seen this. I'm excited to see it.
You should see this.
You've seen this film.
I did, and I really liked it.
Good.
This film kind of came out of nowhere for me. Soderbergh made a big song and dance leaving the film industry after Behind the Candelabra, and he made two series of The Nick, I think on HBO. Yeah. He also worked behind the scenes a little bit on Magic Mike XXL. He's got an editor credit and I think like second unit camera or something.
Right.
And I was happy living in this, you know, with the equilibrium being Soderbergh made loads of films. They were quite good. Now he's retired. But earlier this year, he announced he's made a film. There was no like fanfare about him making it.
Right,
he just came onto the scene like, I've made it, it's shot, it's got Channing Tatum, Adam Driver in, let's do it.
Daniel Craig
as Joe Bang. And my favourite thing in all of the marketing for this is, the credit is, and introducing Daniel Craig as Joe Bang.
Oh, you're joking, that's so funny.
It's so good.
I had
good.
No idea, that's really, really
It's on
good.
The poster and it's in the trailers.
Oh, that's really won me round. I mean, I was sort of won round anyway and I was looking forward to seeing it, but that's really funny.
It's really good. And also, actually, Daniel Craig in this is, I think it's, he's obviously a very good actor and he's done a whole bunch of stuff outside of Bond. I think this is my favourite Daniel Craig performance. He's incredible in this.
I'm so glad. I like it when... I mean, he is an actor who is... I'm trying to put this the right way. He can and has taken himself quite seriously quite a lot, and it is so fun to see people who take themselves quite seriously, especially performers, lighten up a bit and do something fun. It's like when you know, a big telly drama favourite does a panto at the end of the year. And you get that sort of... Is that similar for Craig in Logan Lucky?
Yeah, he's using acting muscles that we haven't seen him use before. His comic timing is great. He like completely gets it because he's sharing a lot of the scenes with people like Channing Tatum, who has done comedy in the past, has done a whole bunch of films. And you can tell he's almost got a smile on his face the whole time. His character is so good as well, like a curmudgeonly ex-con who is sort of drawn back into crime and like he wants to, but he doesn't really want to. And there's a lot going on in his brain to get him where he is in the film. But God, he's so good. He's also got this amazing like peroxide blonde haircut and lots of tattoos. And he's still ripped like Bond.
Oh,
and they
I
make
can't
a point about
it.
His body
How
in the
exciting.
Film as well. But it's a whole, like Soderbergh's really good at doing. I guess he, you know, people must love working with him because he always has such an amazing cast. He's got Hilary Swank in this. He's got Macon Blair from Green Room and Blue Ruin.
Oh, no way.
Pops up in this, which is quite fun. We've got Riley Keough. We've got Katie Holmes. We've got Seth MacFarlane. The weak spot in this film.
I can imagine.
He's doing a British accent, which is not good.
Oh, for God's sake.
He's very, very annoying. The character's supposed to be annoying, but the problem is when an annoying actor plays an annoying character with an annoying performance, it makes the whole thing just quite annoying.
In terms of the whole film, what percentage of screen time does
Seth
MacFarlane have?
Single. Okay, I'm talking single digits.
It's like 6%.
Yeah, maybe 7.
Okay.
He's in it too much, but not enough to ruin the film.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to have knowledge of that bullet going in.
Also, he's quite early in the film as well, so once you've done it, once you've done the scene with him,
thank you,
then
good to know.
The rest of it is other bits with other actors and it's more bearable. Like he acts opposite Sebastian Stan quite a lot. Sebastian Stan, very good.
Okay.
I thought this was a really fun film. So it's a caper. It's a good old-fashioned caper.
I love a caper.
You could file this next to like a classic Coen Brothers movie on your DVD shelf. It's closer to Coen's than to Ocean's 11.
Sure.
In this, I think in the film, one of the characters actually calls the heist they're about to do Ocean 7-11, and that kind of sums up the film.
Great.
And also beats all the critics to saying that as well, because it's actually in the film. Like these are guys who are very enthusiastic, are in way over their head, they haven't got a clue what they're doing, and the film is all the better for it.
Fab, that sounds wonderful. I'll go and see it this week. Thank you
it's
very much.
Yeah, it's a solid caper. Really, really enjoyed it. Would recommend it. And in at number one, it's a brand new film. It's Detroit.
Detroit.
Directed by Kathryn Bigelow,
sure
written
is.
By Mark Boll.
Yes.
They've teamed up again following Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty.
Good team.
The cast of Detroit is incredible. A bit like Logan Lucky, actually. Like an amazing ensemble. We've got John Boyega. We've got Will Poulter. Yeah. We've got Anthony Mackie. I'm looking forward to this.
Me too. I'm afraid neither of us have been able to see this yet, dear listeners, but we will see it very soon. I hear really good things.
It's top of the pile for me. Yeah, the reviews have all been incredible. It looks like, I mean, I love Kathryn Bigelow's films as well. I rewatched Point Break a few years ago. That's such a good film.
I haven't revisited either Zero Dark Thirty or The Hurt Locker. I must do that.
I've rewatched Hurt Locker once a long time ago, maybe to prepare for Zero Dark Thirty, but I haven't seen Zero Dark Thirty since the cinema.
Yeah,
had a jolly time.
Yeah, it's tough stuff, but I would like to have another go on it.
From what I hear, Detroit is the toughest of all of the Bigelows, but you know, only because the events it's based on are probably tougher than the other. This is in a town. This isn't in a war zone.
Yeah,
you know, this, and it's not that long ago.
Good old Bigelow. She's such a good filmmaker. Such a talented filmmaker. And yes, I'll always make time to see her work.
I imagine, from what I've heard from people, I imagine this will show its face around the awards corridor as well.
Yeah, I imagine so.
It feels like it should do. It's interesting releasing it so far ahead of all of the awards noise, but actually maybe it's good to get ahead.
Hmm.
People will actually be able to see it.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, that is a good set of films for the top five.
Yeah. They're all... I mean, I guess Dunkirk is like a British film, but made by a big American studio. They're all American films.
Yes, that's true.
Or films that feel American, even if Dunkirk is maybe technically a British film. Not sure about the provenance of that one.
Yeah, come in, Alpalina. Read you loud and clear. Ready to receive the new Picture Houses podcast? Cheers, mate.
you know, August has kind of been a good month for catching up. You can see Dunkirk a few more times.
Yeah,
but there are some new films coming out now that we're out of the summer holidays, where people typically don't release as many films because everybody's away. September is looking like a great month for cinema.
It's back to school.
Yeah, back to school, back to the cinema. We are properly getting some of the awards contenders in September.
I'm talking about it.
I mean, that's a Best Picture. Did you know Will Poulter from Detroit was originally cast as the clown in it?
Before Skarsgård, yeah. It was supposed to be Poulter for ages.
That's crazy.
It's for a very long time, yeah, it would have been good. I mean, we'll see what Skarsgård does.
The new It looks incredible. I'm very excited.
I started reading the book for the first time 2 weeks ago and
Isn't it the size of a phone book?
Yeah, it's 1,400 pages long.
Oof. I've only read one or two Kings. I read The Shining, but that was also like the length of a phone book.
Yeah, it's a big book, but I mean, I'm having a good time. It's just so long. I took it on holiday, and I don't have an e-reader. I'm an idiot, basically, is what I'm saying. I'm a moron.
You took a small phone book with you.
Yeah, but it's out next week.
Yeah.
So I've got to read the book, and then watch the Tim Curry miniseries again.
That's important, yes.
And that's like 4 hours long. I've got to spend a lot of time in the next 2 weeks.
Or to watch a less than 2 hour long film.
Exactly. It's diminishing returns in terms of length and hopefully not quality.
This is true. Well, the early buzz around It is that it's very positive.
I hope so.
So I think you'll be in for a treat. I'm really excited about Mother, the new Darren Aronofsky film.
Me too. I'm seeing that next Tuesday and I'm very excited to see it. Lowercase m, exclamation mark at the end, which means you sort of have to say, Mother!
I really like films with an exclamation mark in the title.
Yes, me too.
Always a treat. And always nice to see it on the BBFC card, knowing that someone at the BBFC has had to put that in.
Yes. Yeah. Although difficult to talk about in terms of when you're texting someone. Like, would you like to come and see Mother! Exclamation mark and then lowercase with me tonight?
Yes, this is true.
Tricky. Just an unsightly sentence.
Yeah, that's true. He's just playing with us, isn't he, with all of his marketing. I know nothing about this film, so I'm very excited about Jennifer Lawrence.
Word of advice, listeners, I would not watch the trailer for this. I have seen the trailer and I'm telling people not to watch the trailer because it really felt like... I've not seen the film, but it really feels like it gives a lot away. And it also feels like Aronofsky's on full, schlocky melodrama, Black Swan mode. Mm. So, the sort of state in which I'd really rather know nothing about it. So, don't watch that trailer and let's all go in with an open mind and an open heart and a head clear of potential spoilers.
I think that's a fun thing to do with a film. I love going in and not having seen any trailers or anything
getting
before
sick
it.
Of watching trailers. But I'm really looking forward to it. Can't wait.
Okay, sold.
But in the more immediate future,
yes.
We have this week's big release, which is Francis Lee's God's Own Country.
Yeah, so God's Own Country comes out on the 1st of September. It's played at quite a few film festivals, so I feel like some listeners may have seen it already, which is great. It won the Michael Powell Award at the Edinburgh Film Festival in June. And which is remarkable, because Francis is... when you see the film, I think you'll agree he's a very talented director. He's also a first-time director. This is his debut feature that he wrote as well as directed. He came from a background of short films and art films, and this is a very comprehensive first feature. I felt he's so good.
It's certainly a bit of a hacky trope to say that someone's debut feels assured, but that is certainly the case with God's Own Country. It is an extremely well-made film, and it feels like it's been made with someone who's been doing this job for a long time, been made by someone who's been doing this job for a long time. It has such sureness and clarity to it. Earlier on, we were talking about, I'd mentioned, some of the best films of the year, and God's Own Country is absolutely in and amongst those. It's one of the best things I've seen this year, hands down.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's really stuck with me. I saw this film... Yeah. About 6 months ago, and I really loved it then. And the more I think about it, the more I think about different elements from it, like how authentic the landscape feels and this world that he's built. It's not a big showy special effects joint. It's shot in Yorkshire, but it's shot with someone who knows the landscape, and he's found the best places to show us this story.
I totally agree. It's a film that encourages you to sort of get to know it in a very real way. So I've seen this film once. I saw it a couple of months ago, and I remember everything about it. Like, I have such a strong, firm memories of that film. You know, you can go and see certain films and you get to the end of it and you can barely remember what happened at the beginning, and it feels sort of flimsy or throwaway. This is totally the opposite experience. I think there is such a great wealth of talent on and off screen, and I think that it feels like such a totally authentic world, and that realness goes a long way to ensuring a quality of experience that feels like it couldn't be any higher.
I completely agree. And I think it's important for the type of film this is. This is a love story. And we have to believe in the characters. We have to believe in the situation they're in. And I think Francis, you know, just in terms of production design and his direction, has allowed these actors to make these characters feel so authentic. And yeah. I felt like their relationship felt so true.
Yeah, there isn't a frame of it that doesn't feel real.
No, not at all. And you know, it's helped by certain elements like, you know, they're shooting in real locations. They don't have to worry about weathering things or whatnot. But I just think the fact that the actors feel so confident in the jobs they're doing, like the day-to-day jobs, like what their characters are actually doing whilst they're saying their lines, whilst they're interacting with each other, like, I loved it. I felt like I was like part of this really intimate relationship.
Yes, it's a staggering piece of work, and at the heart of that, there are two phenomenal lead performances from Josh O'Connor and Alex Secrano, and terrific support performances as well. But those are the two or four shoulders upon which the film stands.
Yeah, it's a tiny cast, really. I mean, they're very much the leads, and their supporting performances from Gemma Jones.
Lovely Gemma Jones.
Oh, she's so good.
God, I love Gemma Jones.
It's really nice to see. I love how Gemma Jones is doing quite a lot of indies at the moment. She was in Radiator a couple of years ago.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And films that on paper do look quite similar, but couldn't be more different, really.
Sure, yeah.
And Ian Hart as well. And the four of them are, it's not a love triangle at all, but it's quite an interesting square to be in. Very, like, everybody is pushing at each other and, like, tussling, and it's quite complicated.
Yes. It knocked me for six when I first saw it, and I'm so looking forward to seeing it again. Total emotional authenticity. To me, it feels like, but not just emotional authenticity, like cinematic authenticity and dramatic authenticity. It's an amazing accomplishment. I think it's a real achievement.
Yeah, I think it's getting amazing reviews from people, and I feel like they're very well deserved. I would recommend just, you know, going in and making your own mind up. But I feel very confident to recommend this to pretty much everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's just got. It's one of those things that's got BAFTA written all over it for me, and I really hope that there is a campaign for it behind that, because it is so thoroughly deserving of all praise.
Well, I think
loved it.
And the thing that makes it all sweeter is that this is Francis's first film.
Yeah,
like,
God.
This is remarkable. Like, yeah. Somebody give him a big check.
Yeah. I liked it. Can you tell? Liked it.
It was pretty good. This is a proper British independent film, and like, you're right, like it should win. It should have a really good stab at the BAFTAs.
Yeah,
I cannot wait to see what Josh and Alec do next.
Yeah.
I've never seen either of them in a film before.
Such terrific performances.
I think
so good.
They're incredible, and it's not. I think they're both as good as each other. I couldn't really pick them apart. I would happily watch them both in lots more films. I think Josh, from what I gather, is shooting quite a lot at the moment. And I cannot wait to see what comes out first.
He's got a bit of a Dunkirk face.
Yeah, he feels like he should have been in Dunkirk.
Yeah.
Maybe he feels like he should have been in Dunkirk
Fionn
too.
Fionn Whitehead.
Well, Dunkirk's, I mean,
just look a bit like Fionn Whitehead. That's what it is.
Yeah, I think he's the right age as well to be in there with those boys. And like, I would watch the Josh O'Connor version
Dunkirk.
Of Dunkirk.
Yeah, me too.
That would be a treat.
Yeah.
But yes, a big thumbs up for God's Own Country.
Every thumb. I would like to turn all of my fingers into thumbs so that I could give the film 10 thumbs up.
I've only seen it once. I think I'll definitely see it a second time.
I'm going Friday night
in the cinema. And I think, yeah, I think I kind of watched it with a small crowd. I would love to see it with a big audience.
Yes, I saw it with one other person who was sitting about 5 rows away from me, so I should be going to a packed opening Friday night. Cannot wait.
Yes, no, looking forward to that. Would recommend it highly, listeners. Please do go and check it out.
Yes.
Okie dokie. Well, yeah, so it's a thumbs up for God's Own Country. Also out this week, this beginning of September, we've got The Limehouse Golem, which, or is it Golem?
It's Golem.
Is it Golem?
It's Golem.
The Limehouse Golem, which I haven't seen, but no. I'm so up for it.
I'm looking forward to it.
It looks like a lot of fun.
Danny Mays, Dougie Booth, Olivia Cooke. William Nighy.
So originally it was supposed to be Alan Rickman.
Eddie Marzan looks like he's cosplaying Tom Hardy and Bronson in the trailer for The Limehouse Golem, and I am so looking forward to it.
I can't wait. I think it looks like a lot of fun.
It sure does.
Like a proper Victorian thriller. Yep. Yes, please.
Yeah, why not?
I'm up for that. And also Patty Cakes, which is one of those films that plays at Sundance and gets bought for a large sum of money. So I think a lot of the things I've read about it have purely been about the deal behind buying the film. I haven't really read that much about the actual film itself.
Right.
So I would quite like to see what Fox has spent $10 million on. It's getting very good reviews. It closed the Somerset House outdoor screenings earlier this month, and got everyone I know who saw it there said it was great. So I'll have a go on Patty Cakes.
Me too.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, definitely.
So a good start to September, basically.
Yeah, and good. And then I think the rest of the September is looking fairly promising. Obviously, we've got it next week. You're going away.
I'm going away. So I'll have a little pod break. I'll go and watch a lot of films on a plane. Yes. I'm going to go to America for the very first time. Very excited. But I will be away for 2 weeks. So you'll have to tell me all about what all of these amazing September films are like.
I certainly will. I'll do the full deep dive on September. And then when you get back, we'll have a September catch-up pod.
Yes, please. That would be wonderful. I'll tell you everything I watched on the plane.
Please do. A full list of both. That'd be great.
Cool. Okay. Well, put that in your diary, listeners. And thank you very much for listening today.
Yes, thank you ever so much for being with us. And go and see God's Own Country. And go and see Dunkirk again. Why not? Treat yourself.
What a fun. Interestingly, both films that sort of have a very similar kind of look.
Sure.
Quite gritty. Quite gritty looking.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Okay, why not? I buy that.
Both feel authentic.
Both 5-star films. A 10-star experience. A great double bill.
Wonderful.
Go and see God's Own Country. Hashtag go and see God's Own Country. Great. Thanks very much. Bye, listeners. Bye.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening and see you next week.